As we are approaching Tisha B'Av, and if you will read Eicha carefully, or listen to it carefully, you will notice that there are contradictions within the book of Eicha, in which Yirmiyahu seems to indicate that what befell the Jewish people was what they deserved, on the one hand. And on the other hand, he bemoaned the fact that there were many people who suffered who certainly did not deserve it at all. He's not alone in this. The fact that the human condition is such that evil pervades the universe, and that there are good people who are suffering and evil people that are flourishing, is something that Judaism looked straight in the face at and never tried to deny or whitewash. That suffering is approached as a fact of life is laid out throughout the Tanakh. And that it needs explanation comes only because we are monotheists. The fact that the human condition is complex and fraught with suffering that cannot be explained was known to all peoples. But polytheists and the pagans had no such problem because they had good gods and bad gods. And by having those, they could, in fact, simply see this as a war of the cosmos. And it was a question of who had the upper hand at any time. They did not expect the world to be just. They did not expect the world to be good. Its chaos made perfectly good sense since there was a war between the gods. The moment you assume that all of this has to have a unity and one God created it, and from that one God emanates both life and death, you are faced with a problem which was faced head on. Because if that God is, as we declare, Hatov Vehameitiv, then every thinking Jew needed to confront the issue about something that Chazal called Tzadik Veralo Verasha Vetovlo. Here I have a tzaddik and his life is miserable, and here I have a roshe and it seems to be going very, very well. And we didn't whitewash it and we didn't shove it underneath the rug. It was a reality that we faced up to it. And we struggled with it from the beginning of time. I presented to you a source, a series of sources that are merely scratching the surface. And what we will do today is not much more than go through a survey of the kinds of ways in which the problem was posed, what sort of solutions or partial solutions were proposed, and not actually come to any kind of ultimate conclusion. We will not be going into what the major philosophers from Rambam all the way to Rav Soloveitchik discussed about it. That's a whole year-long course on its own. Nor will I attempt to go through two major sforim that are dedicated almost completely to the issue, and that is Kohelet and Iyov, both of which suffer from horrific neglect in the curricula of all of our schools, because most of the teachers are terrified of it. And so it's easier to pretend I'm a Tor nicht fragen, I'm a Tor nicht reden, and you're not allowed to ask and you're not allowed to say, so that we can become good pagans, instead of recognizing that to be a Jew, to be a Ben Yisrael, is he was called no longer Yaakov, but Israel, Ki sariti im Elokim v'im Adam. I struggled, I wrestled with God, and I wrestled with man. because evil and the problems of evil and the problems of injustice are divine as well as human. The lack of fairness, the lack of consistency is, of course, in the human realm. But we don't have a problem with humans because humans are merely fallible. We recognize them as being imperfect. We don't have a problem with that. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is perfect. And he's Hatov VeHametiv. How do I explain? Now, most of us are not bothered by the ingrown toenail, by the occasional bronchitis, and other kinds of things that hit all of us. We see those as coming across with the currents of time, part of the growing pains, if you like, and we don't sit there and agonizing, why me, over little things like that. Even the selfish question about, why did I get cancer? Why am I dying before my time? Frankly, doesn't shake the cosmos. It doesn't. Because the question is not why me, why are somebody else? You don't ask that same question about why is it that I have a good marriage? Why are my children healthy? Why do I have parnose? You don't sit and agonize over that. You don't ask yourself, do I really deserve this? And the other guy doesn't. Doesn't bother you at all. On the micro level, unless you're a super egomaniac, it doesn't really matter. Why me is not the question. The question is much more on a general cosmic way. Why good people? Why innocent people? Why 6 million? Why 2 million children? Those are the questions that should shake Amot HaSipim. They should shake the columns of the temple. They should shake the columns of this world on which it stands. And it does. Now, the first one that raised this question was Avraham Avinu, and it is, in fact, in your sources, under the thing called the problem. And I told you, I only brought you a little bit, a lek and a shmek, not much more than that. Avraham Avinu has just undergone a Brit Milah, when you remember that he has three angels showing up, and they tell him, of course, that Sarah is going to have a baby. And then there is an aside in which Vayomer Hashem Amar, and Hashem had said, to whom? It's very much like a Shakespearean stage in which the Ribbono Shel Olam turns to us, the reader, and has an aside. He's not talking to the other characters on stage. He's talking to the audience. And he says, "Hamechase ani me'Avraham asher ani oseh? Do you think that I would hide from Avraham what I'm about to do? Ve'Avraham hayo yiye legoy gadol ve'atzum ve'nivrechu bo kol goyei ha'aretz. Avraham, after all, is destined to become a great nation, a powerful nation to which all other peoples will either attach themselves or be blessed through him." In other words, he's carrying the rest of the world on his shoulders. Furthermore, Ki Yedatev, I knew him, I loved him. And why did I love him? Leman asher yitzaved banaved beito acharav. Now, typically, if you say, why did I love him? You'll say, because, backwards, he did something. But here it says, I loved him for the sake. In other words, I chose him, not for something he did, but for something that he will do. And what will he do? Yitzaved banaved beito acharav. He will command his children and the household after him. The household included Geirim, all of these converts, all of the nations to whom he called out the name of Hashem and told them that there's only one God. And what would he teach them and what would he guide them? Shamru derech Hashem. That they would observe, that they would follow, because they were created in the image of God, they would do what God did. They would follow in his ways. To do what? Lasot tzedaka umishpat. Which means that the way of God is tzedakah umishpat, righteousness, lawfulness. Didn't speak here about chesed yet. Didn't speak about rachamim. It spoke about tzedakah. Now, tzedakah is not charity. Because tzedek tirdof is justice. It's the law tempered with mercy. The law that recognizes the human motivations, the emotions that lead to actions. It doesn't just judge the act. It judges the whole personality. That's tzedakah. And also mishpat, also the law. Which means that we have what the Rambam called in Moreh Nevuchim, Hashgacha Klalit v'Hashgacha Pratit. Hashgacha Klalit is that blind law of nature. The sun rises, the sun sets. The planets go around the sun. What goes up must go down. All the laws of physics, they don't care who you are, has nothing to do with you. This is the general law, mishpat. Tzedakah is the way the Ribbono Shel Olam deals with conscious human beings. Those that have a mind and a heart. With them, there are rules of morality. There are no rules of morality for a cow or an elephant. But for a human being, there's a concept, not merely of survival, but of right and wrong, of good and evil. And so there they will be judged, but with tzedakah, with a sense of rachamim, recognizing their motivations, the struggle between flesh and mind, between reason and emotion, knowing the full person. And all of this is why, Leman havi Hashem al Avraham et asher diber alav. So that then God can bring Avraham all the things that he had promised him. What were the things? That his children would be many, as the sands of the earth and the stars of the heavens, that the Eretz Israel would be his. That was his destiny and reward. He has a task to fulfill, and then this reward will come. Okay? And now God talks to him. All of that was the aside. In other words, I'm going to explain to you now why I'm going to speak to Avraham. And then I turn. Vayomer Hashem. You see, earlier it was what he told us, the reader. Now he's talking to him. Vayomer Hashem. Zakat Sdom ve'amora ki rabba. Ve'chatatam ki kavda me'od. Oh, the sin of Sdom ve'amora. It is great. What they've done is extremely heavy and can no longer be ignored. Erdana ve'er'e. Kivyochol, the Ribbono Shel Olam needs to go down to see. Because it's only come to him. He's heard of it. He now needs to go check it out. And he uses an anthropomorphism as if God's knowledge is limited. And Rashi there on the spot says, to teach us that we don't make judgments until we don't get down and step in somebody's shoes and walk a mile in their boots, right, in their moccasins, to see what it's like. That's tzedakah. To judge them, but get down to where? Into their circumstances. Okay? Erdana ve'er'e, I will go down and see. Haketzakata haba elai asu. Is it like what they, the scream of it? Is it as bad as it sounds? And if it is, kala, well, wipe them out. Ve'im lo, but if not, et'ah, I will then know, and I'll know what to do. Va'yifnu misham ha'anashim, the angels left, and they were going headed down to Sdom. Their job was to test the situation. And if it turns out that it's as bad as it seems, to do what? Wipe it out. Ve'Avraham odenu omed lifnei Hashem. But Avraham was left standing there. Now, why did God share all this with him? Remember why? He just told us why. Because the whole world is on his shoulders. He has a responsibility for the rest of humanity. Vayigash Avraham. So he approached. Vayomar. Ha'af tispe tzadik im rasha. Will you kill the righteous with the evil? And he doesn't wait for an answer. Ulay yesh 50 tzadikim betoch ha'ir. Maybe there are 50 righteous men inside the city. Ha'af tispe velo tisa lamakom. Would you truly kill them and not forgive the city? This is the most incredible solipsism that ever existed. The first question was, will you kill the righteous with the evil? And the answer should be, no, we'll save the righteous and we'll kill the evil. But what is he then asking in the next sentence? If there are 50, save the whole city for the sake of 50. Well, if that's the case, and if you save the whole city because of some righteous men, it means that evil men are going to get away with murder. He just asked for something which is patently unjust. Because Avraham was Baal HaChesed. And he asked for the chesed that he received to be given to somebody else. That's what he asked for. And of course, the Rebbeinu Shlom responded, well, if there's 50, I'll save the city. Well, he figured this was a good going, so what does he ask for then? 40. And God concedes. 30. I mean, we are negotiators, right? 20. And then he says to the Rebbeinu Shlom, Chalila lecha. Can you imagine a human being stands there and goes to the Rebbeinu Shlom like this with his finger? Chas v'shalom, that you should do this thing. Lehamit tzadik im rasha. To kill the righteous along with the evil. V'hayak tzadik karasha. You do that. It means that what will happen to the world? People will say, why bother being good? The fate of the good and the fate of the evil is one and the same. So therefore what? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. And get what you can when the going is good, regardless of who you step on. Chalila lecha. This would be a desecration of you. Hashofet kol haaretz lo yaseh mishpat. Will the judge of the whole universe not do that which is lawful, not follow the law? Now, the chutzpah is just delicious. And the Rebbeinu Shlom told us, I want you to watch my kid. Look what's going to happen now. He told us this ahead of time. I want you to see what happens. Now you'll see why I chose him. But the argument, as I said, is a false argument. Because the judge of the whole world needs to punish the evil, save the righteous, right? Why then not? We'll think about that in a few minutes. Yirmiyahu, who did not stand like others to advocate for his people that much. Why? Because initially he didn't want the mission to come and tell them that Yerushalayim would be destroyed, Beit HaMikdash would be burned, the people would be taken into slavery. All of the Tochacha that is written on the 28th chapter of Vayikra, and the 32nd chapter of Devarim, is going to come to pass just as God had foretold that it would happen. He didn't want this mission because he knew that it was not going to make a difference to what he says. So he begged God off of it. But then he stood up regardless, because it occurred to him that along with all of the idolaters and the cheaters and the swindlers and the tyrants that were going to be killed, there would be many innocents that would die as well. And so he turned to God in the first chapter of Yirmiyahu, and he says, Tzadikata Hashem. God, you are righteous. Yeah. And therefore, I will quarrel with you. Ariv Elecha. Ach mishpatim edaber otach. I'm going to speak law, halacha with you. And he brings God, as it were, to a din toilet. He dares to challenge him. Madua derech reshaim tzlecha. Why? Not because we Jews are so good. No. But they're worse than us. The atrocities that he witnessed, that he describes in the book of Eicha, were so horrific that he says, why are they being successful? What's going on here? You're the righteous one. How could I stand here and be quiet? If I couldn't advocate for my people, at least I can scream against them, against evil. And then, of course, the wisest of all men came, Shlomo HaMelech, and wrote the book Kohelet. And what does he declare to us? Oh, in so many places. But this is merely a sample. Et hakol ra'iti b'yimei hevli. I've seen it all, he says, in my vain glorious days, in my worthless life. Yesh tzadik oved b'tzidko, ve'yesh rasha ma'arich b'ra'ato. There are tzadikim who die because of their tzidkus, because of their righteousness, because they're good. Because their goodness and their innocence makes them vulnerable. And there are evil people who live long, happy lives, die long on their bed, no suffering of any kind, while maintaining their evil ways. I don't have to tell you this. History will prove it. Of all of the Nazis and all of the camp guards and all of those that committed directly, I'm not even talking indirectly, murder, how many were brought to trial in Nuremberg? How many were actually punished? How many were hung? The overwhelming majority lived perfectly good, fruitful lives and even came to government positions with the collusion of the Allies. Yesh rasha ma'arich b'ra'ato. Yep, there's evil people who live long lives even during their evil. In other words, not because they changed, not because they did tshuva, not because they repented. They never repented. And they didn't suffer one day in their lives. And he continues in the eighth chapter. Yesh hevel asher ne'esa la'aretz. And the word hevel, that usually translated as vanity. Well, the way we treat vanity is something you do when you look in the mirror and are concerned about your wrinkles. Hevel really means absurdity. There's an absurdity in the world. Asher ne'esa al ha'aretz, that occurs here on earth. Asher yesh tzadikim, asher magia lahem kemaaseh ha'resha'im. There are righteous people who end up having the fate that should come to evil people. V'yesh reshaim shemegi alahem kemaaseh atzadikim. And there are reshaim that get a life that would be worthy of righteous, good people. So throughout the Tanakh, and by the way, Chavakuk, Zecharia, Tzfania, I can go on. They all address this issue somewhere along the line. Because there isn't a human being that is alive that has not been forced to face this in one way or another. How then do we resolve this? Well, on the surface, the solutions were, number one, sin, or as Dostoevsky said, crime and punishment. The assumption is that for every crime, there will be a punishment. For every good deed, there is a reward. But if you look carefully, there are two parshiyot that you say in Shema Yisrael, says the Ramban. And I promised that we would not go into the philosophers, but I can't avoid this one. And the first one tells you, Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavcha. This is after you declared that Hashem Elokecha hu echad. So the multiplicity that you're seeing, the contradictions that you're seeing, the good and the evil are all one, from one source. Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha. And there you're told what? V'ayu advarim ha'ele. Right, and you're supposed to go and tell them to your children, and you're supposed to inscribe it on totafot, on your head, on your mezuzot. That's it. Anything about reward and punishment? What you're going to get for it? Not a word. Ve'ahavta, you, singular. That's all. But now comes the second parashia, and that is ve'haya im shamoa tishme'u. And now it's plural. So the argument there is that on the micro level, you do not see the evenness of reward and punishment, but you see it on the macro level. You see it on the national level or on the familial level. Mashma, that if I did good deeds, I might not get rewarded now, but maybe my children or my grandchildren will. And perhaps, if I did bad things, I might not get punished now, but it might end up rolling over to. That's what it tells you in the tenth command, in the Ten Commandments. That if you would betray God, He would hold responsible your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. But if you do good things, the credits can last up to 1,000 generations. So good things last longer. Bad things don't extend that long. But I might be suffering for the sins of our fathers. And you will see that in the days of Yirmiyahu, when Beit HaMikdash was being destroyed and we lost our sovereignty and our liberty and we were taken into slavery and families were ripped apart, the people saw innocents dying, babies' heads crushed against the stones. And what did they say? Avoteinu chat'u, our forefathers sinned, and we are suffering for their sins. The famous line is, Avot achlu boser, ushinei banim tikhenna. They ate sour grapes, and our teeth have gone on edge. In other words, because sour grapes have a lot of acid in it, they eat away at the enamel. That's essentially what the argument was. Well, let's see what it says from the Chumash and on. Ve'amar hador ha'acharon, the last generation. Bnechem asher yakumu me'acharichem, the children that are going to rise up in your stead. V'hanochri asher yavo me'eretz rechoka, and the alien, the non-Jew, who will end up coming from a distant land. V'ra'u et makot ha'aretz ahi, when they see the plagues that befell that country. V'et tachlu'eha, and the diseases that befell it. Gofrit v'melach, fire and brimstone. It's actually sulfur and salt, which, by the way, were plowed into the ground by the Romans so that it would never grow again. Srefa kol haaretz, seeing the land all burning and that smell of sulfur. Lotizra velotitzmach, and they see that it's not sown, nothing is growing there. Lo yale bakol esef, no weeds, no grass will grow there. They'll see this country. Kimahapachat Sdom ve'amorah, and it will look like Sdom ve'amorah after they were turned upside down. Adma ve'tzvoim, those are the additional cities next to. When that God had turned upside down in his fury, in his anger. ואמרו כל הגויים, and all these nations will say, על מה עשה השם ככה? For what did God do this? לארץ הזאת, this land. If you've ever had a chance to read Mark Twain's travelogue, and he describes coming to Eretz Yisrael, the promised land, and he's going, what a miserable place this is. Are you kidding? He says, who wants this place? Nothing grows, nothing but beggars. The whole place has been turned into a shambles, which it was. They'll say, what was this great rage, this divine rage against this people, against this country? And the answer will be, על אשר עזבו את ברית השם אלוהי אבותם, because they left the covenant of Hashem, the God of their fathers. And you see, by saying God of their fathers, it means that they had abandoned their, it's no longer their gods, it's the God of their fathers. אשר קראתי מם בהוציאו אותם מארץ מצרים. They abrogated, they betrayed the covenant that was given to them when they came out of Egypt. וילכו ויעבדו אלוהים אחרים, and they went and worshipped other gods. וישתחוו להם, and they bowed down to them. It wasn't just that they served them. They gave up stuff to them. They sacrificed for them. אלוהים אשר לא ידעום ולא חלק להם. Gods that they never knew before. Gods that had given them nothing. ויחרף השם בארץ ההיא להביא להם את כל הכללה הכתובה. So it had been foretold that God would abandon us, vayetishem Hashem me'al admatam, and he will cast them off their land, be'af u'bechema u'beketzef gadol, in anger, in fury, in a storm, vayashlichem el eretz acheret, and he will cast them out to another land as this day. In other words, this was written in Devarim by Moshe Rabbeinu, who foretold that this is what's going to happen. As today is Wednesday, July 18th, that's the way it will occur. Implying that whatever would happen to them would happen because they had abrogated their covenant, the promises made, on the conditions for which the Torah was given, the conditions for which they were taken out of slavery. Well, fast forward, 1,000 years later, Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu, whose people had told him, we are suffering for the sins of our fathers, said, "Bayamim ha'hem lo yomru od avot achlu boser v'shinei banim tikena." In the future, you will not be allowed to say anymore that your father sinned and you are suffering. Now, if he's saying in the future, the implication is that you can still say it now. Yirmiyahu and after him Yechezkel try to uproot this concept that we suffer for the sins of what came before. And Yechezkel argued, Ish bechet'o yamut. Each person will be held responsible only for his own actions. Furthermore, Yechezkel went and presented to us a theology of tshuva. Namely, regardless of what you did or what your forefathers did, if you changed your ways, the past can be erased. You can start fresh. But chas v'shalom, if all of this and all the schus of us and everybody else was from and train the Torah mitzvahs, and you went and switched against it, all of that goes out the window. In fact, Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel pleaded with the Ribbono Shel Olam, each person would stand on his own, basher husham, judged as he is at any particular moment. At that particular moment that he's judged, not before that. And therefore, Yechezkel continued, Hanefesh hachotet, he tamut. Only the sinning soul, that one will die. Did you notice it's the nefesh? They didn't talk about the guf. Because now they're not talking about heaven or hell, but about everlasting life or the lack thereof. And they're already positing and beginning to posit the issue that maybe reward is not only pushed off to next generations, which sometimes we wouldn't mind. If I did good things and I don't get them in my lifetime, how admonish that my grandchildren should get it? You understand? I might actually refrain from doing bad things if those bad things that I do are going to impact my children or my grandchildren as opposed to me. It might actually serve that way. But Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu both davened, and Chazal tell us that they persuaded Kivyachol the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to change the way he leads the world, and that would be Anefesh Achotet Hitamut. Ben Lo Yisa Be'avon Ha'av. Ve'av Lo Yisa Be'avon Ha'ben. And that was, by the way, the law. It had always been the law. In ancient times, as in modern times, in certain places, if you rebel against the government, they not only kill you, but they'll kill your family. That occurs in North Korea. It occurs in Iraq. It occurs in Iran. It occurs across the world. You understand? It occurred in Soviet Russia. It occurred in various places of this kind. No longer will that be the case. A son will not bear the sins of his father. Tzidkat tzadik alav tihyeh. The righteousness of the good man is only on his own head, on his own account. Verishat harasha alav tihyeh. And the evil that he does is on his head alone. Vehaya harasha ki yashuv mikol chatotav asher asah. Should an evil person regret and repent from all the evil that he's done, and from thenceforth keep all of God's laws, v'asa mishpat utzdaka, chayo yichye, he will live. But will he live forever? You and I both know that that's not the case. So when they're speaking here about living or dying, they are talking about life ever after. They're talking about the eternity of the soul. The logical conclusion is that the opposite of it is nefesh tamut, which means not hell, but you're just gone. You're finished. You're wiped out. You've destroyed the eternal soul that you were given. You have nothing. You're just rot. That's all it is. That's all that's left. So the issue is not heaven or hell. It's eternal life or olam haba or no olam haba. That's essentially what it is. Kol psha'av aser rasha lo yizkeru lo. Having changed a new leaf, all of his sins are not reminded. B'tzidkato asher asa yichye. He will live thereon because of the tzedek, the righteousness, the good things that he's done from the moment he's changed. It's a new, the possibility of, and by the way, we read this, of course, in Yamim Noraim. This is all part of the liturgy of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Taking this comes the next step, the one that was implied but not said openly, and that is that while the success of Rishoyim that we see with our eyes is not, can't be denied, it is temporary. Whereas the reward of the righteous is everlasting and carried on. Not merely in the next world, but even here. How so? Comes Tehillim, and believe it or not, the 73rd Psalm is dedicated to this question. It begins by an admission that says, struggling with this problem almost led me off the derech. Ve'achshava ladat zot. And I thought, I struggled to know this. Amalhi bi'enai. And it was a terrible, difficult task for me. It was a hard struggle for me. Adavo el mikdashei el, until I came to the holy places that God created. That means that either he went up to the upper court in Olam Haba, or that he came to Beit HaMikdash and he met the Kohanim and the Chachomim and they advised him. Avina le'achritam. And I came to understand what happens after. And what did I discover? אך בחלקות תשית למו. You make the pathway of Rishoyim smooth and easy to slide down. Hipaltam lamashuot. And you help them fall in directly into hell. Eich hayu leshama karega. How they became desolate, empty, nothingness in a moment. Safu, tamu. Mimbalahot. They came to an end. They ceased out of a nightmare. Kechalom mehakitz, like waking up from a dream. Adoshan be'ir salmam tivze. And he prays God. Make the image of those evil people that's left here, whatever is left of their pictures, whatever is left of their statues, have them destroyed too. We know that they're gone. Unfortunately, they've left some vestiges. I'm asking God to wipe those out, as if they never were. Why do we say that? When we say Hitler, what do we then say? Yemach, erase the name. Doesn't exist. Nishgiven, lo haya, lo nivra, finished, it's gone. I don't even want a vestige, a remnant of something left of him. Malachi confronted his generation with this. They came to him, they said, Amartem, shav avod Elokim. It's in vain that we worship God. Ma betza ki shamarnu mishmarto v'kishi halachnu kodornit mipnei Hashem tzvakot. What good was it? What was the gain that we had by listening, by following God, by observing what he asked us to observe? V'ata anachnu me'ashrim zedim. Look around him. Who are the heroes? Who are the winners? What does history tell you? Might makes right. Gam nivnu osei risha. Those evildoers are building big palaces. They've built big kingdoms. Gam bachanu elokim vayimaltu. They even tested God. They said, where's your God now? Let me see if he'll strike me down. I wonder if a lightning bolt will come down if I commit this horrible crime. And guess what? Nothing. Az nidberu yirei Hashem ishel rehu. And that's what people said to each other. You thought this was only after 1945 that this happened. So they spoke to each other. They said, what was the good of keeping Shabbos? What was the good of keeping kosher? Look at what happened to us. Why did we bother? And look at them. Vayakshev Hashem. God heard this. Vayishma. Vayikatev sefer zikaron lefanav liyirei Hashem. But those who remained faithful in spite of it all, the Rebbe Shalom wrote a book and put down their names, V'hayuli, and they're mine, Amar Hashem Tzvakot, Le'yom Masher Ane Oseh Skula, to the day that I will make as a skula, as a treasure. I know who these people are. I know who remained faithful. I know who remained true even when it was not kedai. V'chamalti alehem kasher yachmol ish al bno ha'oved oto. And I will have pity on them as one who pities the son that worships him or that works for him. V'shaftem, but you'll come back. U'reitem ben tzadik l'rasha. There will come a day when you will again see that there is a difference between a tzaddik and a rasha and their fates. Ben oved Elokim asher lo avda, leven asher lo avdo. To the one that worshipped God and to the one that did not. So there was a declaration that there is reward, sometimes pushed off, sometimes in another world, but there is a reward. And sometimes in the great future. And the proof of it also creates the next solution. And the next solution is, argues as follows. Am Yisrael, and along with them the righteous, suffer more than others, but they're the eternal ones. eternal, not only in the next world, but even in this world. So where is Rome now? And where is Babylonia now? Right? Where are they now? And here we are. If that's the case, we are linking our fate and what we're doing to the future generations because of Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Baze, and our reward comes, but in eternity, either, as the Ramban says, through Gilgulim, namely that all those 6 million are actually walking amongst us. They've come back. And Amos tells us as follows, Rak etchem yadati mikol mishpechot ha'adama. It's only you of all the families of the earth that I've loved, that I've known. Knowing here not merely as carnal knowledge, but knowing as an indication of somebody that you love and you want them close to you, so you really know them. Al ken efkod etchem al kol avonatechem. I hold you responsible for all of your sins. So you are being judged lechut ha-se'ara, at a higher standard. And so when the world judges you as a higher standard, they're bloody hypocrites. But the Ribbono Shel Olam has a right to demand of me what he doesn't of them, because I demand more of somebody who is extraordinary. And Yirmiyahu continues and tells us as follows. The same Yirmiyahu that foretold, this is now you see the 31st chapter, this is already beginning. This is the same Yirmiyahu that told us about Rachel, Bocha, Nevaka, Albaneha, and that the children will someday come back here and rebuild, and all of the desert and the desolation will flower again. Bivchi yavo ubetachanunim ovilem. They will come back crying. And I will need to plead with them to bring them back. Olichem el nachalei maim, but I'll bring them back to streams of water. Bederech yashar lo yikashlu ba, and I'll make them walk on a smooth, easy path, one that won't be fraught with stumbling blocks. Ki hayiti li Yisrael le'av, because I will be to Israel their father. Ve'efraim bechorihu, and Ephraim, who represents the 10 lost tribe, that's my firstborn. I'll take him back. And we see that in our lifetime. Jews out of the woodwork. From Ethiopia. From China. From India. Shimu dvar Hashem goyim. Vehagidu baim melchak. Listen, all nations. I want you to tell it in the aisles, far away. Ve'amru. The God that scattered you is going to gather you back together. Veshemaron, he will watch over them. Kiroe edro, like a shepherd watches over his flock. Kipada Hashem et Yaakov, God has redeemed Yaakov. For those of us that once upon a time had green stamps, you remember you used to go and redeem them? You've paid your price. Your suffering has paid the price of redemption. V'ge'alo miyad chazak mimenu, and he will save him from a hand that's stronger than you. Uvau v'rinenu b'merom Tzion, they'll come back and they'll sing at the heights of Tzion. V'naharu el tuv Hashem, and they'll come flocking back to the goodness of God. El hagdagan v'latirosh v'layitzhar. And the goodness will not be in La La Land. It will be down here. There will be grain. There will be wine. There will be olive oil. Al bnei tzon v'bakar. There will be sheep. There will be cattle. V'hayta nafsham kegan raveh. And their souls will be like a well-watered garden. V'lo yosifu l'davod. We say that when we go to visit somebody in a shiva house. You will not mourn any longer. As tismach betula b'machol, then young maidens will dance and rejoice. Bachurim uskenim yachdav, young men and old people will dance together. V'hafachti avlam l'sason v'nichamtim. I will turn their mourning into joy, into happiness, and I will comfort them. V'simachtim yigonam, and I will make them happy after all of their agony. Indicating that Am Yisrael suffers a lot, but in the end comes the great redemption, the great reward, and to see the comeuppance over all of your enemies. Yeshayahu came up with a solution that is extraordinary, and he's the only one in the entire Tanakh that did it. It is not clear if he's saying this tongue-in-cheek or if he is actually advocating this position. Our commentaries are split on this issue. In it, he says as follows, seeing the righteous being tortured, he hears the evildoers saying as follows, Achen cholyenu hu nasa, indeed, he bore our disease. Umachovenu sevalam, and he's suffering for our pains. Ve'anachnu chashavnuhu nagua muke Elohim umeune, and we had considered him a leper, beaten by God and tortured by God. Instead, hu mecholal mipshaenu, he was created by our sins, and he is oppressed because of our iniquities. This is the source of Christianity, in which they took a Jew and say he died for their sins. They've been killing them forever since for their sins. The word for their sins means because of their sins. But the insanity is that they actually believed that you could transfer your sins to somebody else and have him suffer and become the whipping boy for you. But this is the quotation that Christians use to prove that his suffering absolved them of guilt. Isn't that convenient? Now, if you look carefully, you will see that it's not Yeshayahu that's saying it. It's not God who's saying it. It's what they said as they killed us. Then comes the ultimate. And that is Iyov, the book of Job. If you read the first chapter of Job, you know that this was all a test. And the test was that Iyov is Yere Elokim, Tam, a perfect person, God-fearing, a good man. And the Satan comes along. Now, the Satan is not what the Christians have made him. You see, the Christians who call themselves monotheists have resolved the problem of tzaddik v'ralo by the following. In the same way that the pagans did. They've got God, and then they got the devil. So, well, you see, if you can't make sense, it's God who's the good, devil is the bad. Where's the oneness of God? Satan, as it appears in all of the language, is actually nothing more than the prosecuting attorney. So all Bnei Elohim come before God, all of the angels come before God in the court, in the divine court. God asks them, did you see this wonderful man, Iyov, who's such a righteous man, a perfect man, a God-fearing man? And the Satan goes and says, well, fat chance, he's rich, he's got a wonderful family, he's got it all. Why shouldn't he be God-fearing? Of course he's God-fearing. Just take it away from him, let's see what happens now. And that's the way it begins. First he loses his property, then he loses his family, and then finally the Satan comes and says, oh, bad, oh, just touch his skin, see what happens. Until you don't touch the person himself, you don't really know. So he began to suffer pain on his own body and broke out in boils, and the burning was such that he couldn't even scratch it. And then his friends came to comfort him and told him, what did you do to deserve this? Now, we have a lot of thinkers like that. oh, didn't you know that there's, the reason there were earthquakes up in the north was because of, okay, and so happened because of women are not sanua. And that one occurred because, there's a whole book in the Tanakh, it was never excised from the Tanakh, that says that's not the reason. So the book was designed essentially to indicate that we would take a person's behavior and the fate in their life and separate them. If you separate mitzvahs from reward and averas from punishment, you have freedom. Because otherwise what we would be is well-programmed robots. You all know about Pavlov's notion, right? You simply, if every time you did something bad, out came a lightning bolt, we would all be very, very good, wouldn't we? And if we all got a lollipop every time we did a mitzvah, fine. But we're not little children in kindergarten anymore. Standing on your own, if I divorce reward and punishment from your behavior in an immediate reaction, I'll find out if there's something called true morality. Is there a gutskeit for its own sake? Is there such a thing as good and evil? If there's evil, it's evil that has no reward to it. Are there people who just hurt others, kill others, when they get no actual money for it? The answer is yes. Are there people who do good things, expecting nothing in return and really getting nothing in return? And the answer is yes. And all you need is one to prove the case. If I have one, then I can prove what a human being can be. Comes along Eov, and we hear as follows. Vayomer Hashem el ha-Satan. Hasamta lipcha lavdi Eov. Did you happen to notice, pay attention to my servant Eov? What a tzaddikul. Ein kamo ba'aretz. Ish tam ve'yashar. Yireh Elokim v'sar mira. He's a good man, an honest man. God-fearing and avoids evil. And the Satan tells him, Achinam yare Eov Elokim. For nothing? You think he serves you for nothing? Trestakop. Halo atzachta ba'ado. After all, you protected him and his whole household. And everything that he has. Why wouldn't he be good? He's never had to go through any tests at all. Ma'ase yadav berachta. You've blessed all of his work of his hands. His cattle have increased. He's rich. He's powerful. Why not be good? And of course we know. And what does he tell us? Ga! B'chol asher lo. Just touch whatever he has. Im lo al panecha yevarechecha. Let's see if he doesn't bless you in your face. And of course the word blessing here means exactly the opposite. Let's see if he won't curse you. Eov withstands the test. And so have we, as a people. We've withstood the test. Bechor zot, in all of the events that have happened, Shimcha lo shachachnu, we did not forget your name, says Tehillim. You've done everything you can to make us betray you, to even curse you. And we remained faithful in spite of it all. Al na tishkachenu. Now don't forget us. Finally, we're told, and that happens to Eov as well, that the ways of God are beyond our comprehension. Rav Soloveitchik says, we look at life like the bug under the rug. We see the rug from the other side. We see all the knots. We see all the weaving. We don't see the pattern. And we try to make sense of it. But besides being a bug under the rug, we have a very limited perspective. We don't see beyond our lifetime. We don't know what came before. We don't know what comes after. And within these Dalet Amos, our perception is extremely biased. So the ways of God are far beyond our ken. Moshe Rabbeinu, prior to dying, went up to the mountain, and he asked God, Harenina et kvodecha, show me your, and it's translated glory, it means your essence. And Chazal say, he asked him, Tzadik v'ralo, Rasha v'tovlo. And the Hashem answered him, Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. I will pass all of my goodness in front of your face. V'karati b'shem Hashem lefanecha. And I will call out the name Yudke Vavke, which is Midas Harachamim. And I want you to understand, V'chanoti et asher achon. I will love who I will love. V'richamti et asher arachem. And I will have compassion and mercy for whoever I choose to have compassion and mercy for. But lo tuchal lirot et panai. But you will never be able to see my face. Does chen and rachamim make sense? Do you love your child because they deserve to be loved? Or do you love your child because it's your child? You want reason when you yourself don't experience rational causes. The things that are most precious to you is not because it makes sense. We cherish and we care for our family because it's kedai, ka-ching. We have children and we bring them to this world. Why? Because it makes sense. The rationalists actually decide not to. It doesn't make sense. The things that we most cherish that makes life meaningful and worthwhile make no sense. They're not rational. Doesn't mean they're irrational. It means they're from a different dimension. Is music rational? Is beauty rational? Why are flowers so gorgeous? You see, they can try to explain to you why they smell the way they smell, because they'll bring the bees and they will pollinate and bless the cup. Do I need, how many versions of tulips do I need? Why did he make this world? Achon et asher achon. This is the reality you live in. You can't make sense of it. Lo tuchal lirot et panai. For no human being can see me and remain alive. And in Tehillim, the same Tehillim that I referred to earlier, David HaMelech comes to the conclusion, V'ani ba'al lo eda, I'm a mere ignoramus, I do not know. Behemot hayiti imach, I'm like a beer behema when I'm with you, God. V'ani tamid imach. And yet, nevertheless, I'm always with you. Don't understand you. Don't comprehend you. But I won't let go. Achasta biyad yemini. And you held my right hand. Lowly being, stupid that I am, you hold my right hand. Be'atzatcha tancheni. By your advice, you guide me. Ve'achar kavot tikacheni. And you take me to a place of honor. You take me to good places, though I don't know. In some respects, God is our ultimate GPS. He has the perspective and he tells us which way to go. And I have no choice but to hold on, because you're going to lead me to the right path. That leads us to the answer, finally, that Eov came to and that Eicha comes to. After decrying what happens, after bemoaning the fate of his people, after describing in most vivid language the atrocities committed against us, Yirmiyahu declares, Chasdei Hashem ki lo tamnu. God's loving kindness never ends. Ki lo chalu rachamav. His mercy never ends. Chadashim lafkarim. New mornings. New day. Rabba emunatecha. And in the final analysis, the only thing that can grow is my faith. and your faithfulness. I remain faithful to you, and you remain faithful to me. Chelki Hashem amra nafshi. My soul said, for good or for evil, it makes no sense. I've chosen you, Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Al ken ochilo, therefore I continue to hope for him. Tov Hashem lekovav, God is good to those who hope for him. La nefesh tidrashenu, to the soul that seeks him. Tov veyachil vedumam, be good. Keep yearning and be silent for the salvation of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Shu'eicha concludes, right? And Iyov finally gets a voice out of the whirlwind. He asks God all the hard questions. Why'd you do this to me? What's going on here? And he doesn't get an answer. But he hears that there's a voice. Somebody heard him. And his response is, at the very end, Vayan Iyov et Hashem, Iyov answered God. Because God asks him, where were you when I made the world? And where were you? And you think you're the only thing that matters? And what about the great elephants? And what about the great whales? And what about this? And what about the bugs? You think you're the only thing that I have in my mind? Right? You're nothing. You're nothing. You're nothing. Ah, but you're talking to me. But you're talking to me. So he answers him, Yadati ki kol tuchal. I know and I knew that you are all powerful and you can do it all. You're omnipotent. Velo yivatzer mimcha mezima. Nothing is beyond you. Mizema lim eitza blidat. And he throws back God's words back in his face. Who is this that dares question me when he knows nothing? And he simply repeats what God asked him, the voice out of the whirlwind. Who is this that's questioning me? Lachen higadati velo even. Therefore, I said, I spoke, though I did not understand. Niflaot mimeni velo yada. It's too wondrous for me, and I don't know. But Shmana v'anoch yedaber. I insist that you hear me. I will speak. Esh alcha v'hodieni. I'm going to ask you questions and I want an answer. I still want it, he says. But leshema ozen shmaticha. But having heard you, heard your voice alone, ata eini ra'atcha. Up until now, I only heard about you. Now I actually experienced you. Al ken emas v'nichamti. Therefore, I give up and I'm comforted. I'm alafar v'efer, a mere dust and ashes. But this mere dust and ashes got God's attention. This mere dust and ashes dared talk to God and at least got a sign that he was heard. Did he get an answer to his questions? No. But he knows one thing. Somebody heard him. Somebody listens. Have a meaningful fast. And remember, somebody's listening.